I'd just like this morning to give the our worship team a hand. What a great job.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I mean, they're strumming away, beating away, singing away. Really appreciate their hearts. We are continuing our series, Life Together. We're staying on that until we die. Life Together. One thing about Christianity that I've learned over the years, if you had to put it in a sporting category, it is a team sport. It's not about individuals. It's about coming together collectively and seeing God's glory in throughout our relationships. And next week, we're going to really begin another facet of life together by studying the body of Christ. And Jim Russell will be leading off that series or that focus next Sunday. So thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. He's going to do an awesome job, as Jim always does. And Carla and I will be in Miami. I'll be preaching in Miami that weekend, and it's a great opportunity to have a great reunion. We were there for 18 years, so we look forward to seeing the brothers and sisters there and having a great time in South Florida. I wanted for you to help me to, well, I want to have a contest. And I want to see who can guess the title of today's message. And this is a hint. So if you guess, and if you know it, you can't guess. If you already know my title, you can't do it. And God is watching. God knows. Can anybody guess the title of today's sermon? Yes. Let's take a stab there. Come on up, Deb. Come on up, Deb. Come on up. Come on up. You got a prize. You got a prize. You got a prize. Come on up. No, I'm going to come down to you. This is a Starbucks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You did awesome. Mwah. Y'all can buy that gift certificate off of Deb. She'll sell it if you want, you know. You're not getting that far. Okay, great. Life together for the next generation. Life together for the next generation. And I want to begin with the end in mind. I want to give you your homework assignment right now. Read Psalm 78. Sometime today. Not that one yet. Read Psalm 78 today at some point. And this is an example of a generation that had difficulty passing on their faith to the next generation. They had difficulty passing the torch to the next generation. And what happened to them is usually what happens when generations fail to pass the torch. They start with commitment, and then it's replaced by complacency, which leads to compromise. Starts out with commitment, hot, fired up for God, goes to complacency, then ends up in compromise. And the torch of God is not passed. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Beginning in verse 6. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance, and Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and Asherahs. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, who they were no longer able to resist. Today, this morning, this message is for you. This message is for me. This message is for all of us. Whether you are TNT, tried and true, whether you are a widow, an empty nester, a single dad, a single mom, a single, a college student, a teenager, this message is for all, also for those who are not yet born, who cannot speak for themselves. God speaks for them. It is a message that includes all. Life together is an every generation message. Joshua died at 110 and led them through many victories and set a good example. After his death, others of his generation, elders, lived for a while, but they died out. While they lived, the memory of God's greatness was preserved, and the people maintained their devotion to God. After Joshua's death, those who witnessed God's wonderful works, those who came after them, did not know the Lord's works. The result of this ignorance is given in verse 11. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. You see, the first generation revered and served the true God because Joshua and his generation kept the memory of God's works alive. The second generation didn't retain the wonders and the works of God. They forsook the true worship and turned to other gods, and God's judgment and wrath came on that generation. What we see in the scriptures is that when the knowledge of God is preserved in a community by those who have experienced God's wonders, faith is nourished and obedience flourishes. If the first generation allows the second generation to grow up without this knowledge of God, they assist in their ignorance, unbelief, and destruction. The first generation's responsibility is to teach the second generation about God's wonderful work, so that they, the second generation, can be saved. Amen? What a responsibility the first generation has. What a responsibility the second generation has. This morning, we'll look at three ways to help the next generation to know about the wonders of God. And if you are a TNT, you know your next generation. If you're a teenager, you will have a next generation. We all have responsibility to carry on that torch. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If the second generation is to know about God's works and to know God, we must love God passionately. If we are to pass on to the next generation God's wonders and works, we must be admirers of God. We must be lovers of God. We must love God passionately. And verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them. Repeat them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We've read the scripture many, many times. And we talk about how we should orchestrate our home and how we should love God passionately. And this is a way that we can do that. These are the instructions that God says, man, you love me first. This is how you pass it on to the next generation. If we fail to do this, we fail to pass on God. It's about loving God with our whole heart versus inconsistent and hypocritical behavior. It's so key. Raise of hands, how many baby boomers do we have in the house? How many baby boomers, all right? Why did many of your generation educate us? I was almost there, baby boomer. Why did many of your generation turn away from mainstream Christianity? Hypocrisy, okay? Who else wants to take a stab at it? In your generation, why did so many turn away from mainstream Christianity? Yes. Harshness, okay, from the religious community, okay. Yeah. Roger. Okay, got it in their careers. Okay, all right. Yeah, Martha. Didn't relate to life. Okay, all right. It was kind of too churchy. All right, too much doctrine, not enough life. Okay, all right. Yes. Legalism. Okay, all right. Anybody else want to take a stab? You baby boomers. Yes. Yes. Okay. The abuses, okay. Okay, absolutely. Clergy, you know, yeah, abuse, yes. Judy. All right. Something you did on Sunday, not a lot of relationship. You kind of saw him on Sunday, and then you didn't see him again until next Sunday. Okay, all right, not a lot of life together. Okay, yes. False teachings, okay. All right, yeah. Oh, didn't see much difference between the church and the world. What about on racial issues? You know, racial issues, that was a big one. For I know the baby boomers, you know, so many churches supported racist policies and practices. And it was the same as the world was. So opposite of Jesus' life. Yes. Church was boring. Boring. They didn't give out Starbucks cards. They didn't have a contest for the title of the sermon. It's boring. Yes. Okay, this generation. Okay, this generation, a lot of choices. Okay, maybe back in the day we didn't have as many choices. There's a lot of reasons for it. You know, young people are very sensitive to inconsistency. You know, I remember being 12 years old and going to church, and I picked this up. I listened to the minister. He was saying, and God need, and I'm like, wow. He has a whole different way of speaking. And I literally thought this. I wondered if he sits around the table and says, honey, pass me the butter. Boy, you look good in them jeans. 100 years. And I said, you know, but it, you know, because I was all about consistency. And when I came to this church at 18 years old, Sam Powell was preaching, and he was just talking. I said, wow, he's just talking. He's not preaching. He's not doing whatever they do. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying, as an 18-year-old or 12-year-old, I picked up, I was wondering about the consistency. Young people are very sensitive. The second generation must see our love for God. They must see it in this room. They must see it in the living room. They must see it in the kitchen. They must see it in the bedroom. They must see our love for God and being consistent. The second generation must see us confess and apologize and repent and change and grow because we're sinners. But they got to see it. Second generation must see us following Jesus, not just talking about him, following him. The second generation must see us being transformed and changed by that relationship. And yes, they must see us involved in joining Jesus in the mission, whatever that means. That means mommy and daddy are helping people know God. They see it. They understand it. They see it in your home. They see it when you go out to dinner. They see it. Not that we're perfect, but they must not see inconsistency. Inconsistency. Anyway, another way that we can help the next generation know about God is to impress the truth practically. Impress the truth of God practically. You know, here in verse 7, it says, impress them on your children, the commands of God, right? Repeat the commands of God. Talk about them. When do you talk about them? Well, when we have Friday night devotionals. No, you can have devotionals. And what I've learned is that little kids, they like devotionals. But when little kids get older, they're like, yeah, this is boring. Can we have some life with that doctrine? So repeat them and find ways to do it. Find opportunities to do it. Don't just set up a meeting to do it. But talk about it as it comes. Talk about it as it comes. Look for these opportunities. These opportunities are not forced when you have a passion for God. When you have a passionate love for God, they're not just meetings. They come out. They're part of you. The things you love deeply always seem to find a way in the conversations. As parents, I know it's tough because sometimes children can be dismissive. They can be bored. But if you plant those seeds of certain truth, one day they'll sprout. We must be gentle, not defensive or forceful. We must have the spirit of the prodigal son's father, who told his boy the truth and allowed a bridge to be built so that he'll come back home when he falls. Well, that's how God does us. So let's do that to the next generation. The third way to help the next generation know about God is to give testimony personally. Give testimony personally. Look in verse 20. In the future, when your sons ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord God has commanded you, tell them, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders and great and terrible on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised to on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all the decrees and fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as in this case today. And if we are careful to obey all his laws before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Verse 20, in the future, when your sons ask you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord your God has commanded you? It's good for people to ask questions. We need to welcome our children. We need to welcome the next generation to ask us questions about God. You know, they may ask questions because they're only curious. That's fine. They may ask questions because they really do want to know. They may ask questions because they really are curious and they want to know and they want to follow. Praise God. They're going to ask questions. You see, whatever the reason, testimonies tell stories and they can connect people to us and to God. Are you telling your children stories about how God has changed you? Not only in 1972, but 2002, and last week. You see? Are you giving testimonies? Well, I'll tell you this, you know, there are times when I'm talking to Trudy or Sean, and Carlin does the same thing. As we'll say, you know, guys, we understand these struggles. We've been there. I remember, and we go back, and we talk about the before and the after. Do you have a before and an after? Can you say, man, God has done? See, you can't argue with testimony. Well, you can, but you can't argue much. If you say, well, you know, this is what God has done in my life. It's because of God. And so then they are able to go, oh, okay, that's the consistency. Sometimes it's good to be inconsistent and say, you know what? I wouldn't have changed. I am this way, and only by the power of God am I who I am today. It's okay to say, you know what? I have weaknesses. I still have weaknesses. I still need to change and repent. But let's tell the next generation about those changes and not be prideful. And please, hear me, 1200. Do not blame the past for the lack of your transformation. We weren't called to the 1200. We're called to Jesus. So when they hear that, then what Satan does, he starts putting some transferring your bitterness onto them. Instead, why don't you teach them how mommy and daddy forgave people? That's all I'm going to say about that. You see, Moses is telling the story about God. Moses is telling the story about God and about how God rescued. And like Moses did, we can link doctrine with life. That's how you pass it on to the next generation. We can testify how God has made all the difference. Has made all the difference. My concern and my fear is that sometimes because of our own efforts, we're not able to give that testimony. And I know we work hard. That's why we talked about the churches in Revelation, so that we can go, okay, where are we in this? Because like them, we can fall into those challenges and those traps. So, life together, passing on the torch. What does that mean? Life together for the next generation. The next generation needs from us a very passionate, practical, and personal presentation of the gospel. That's what our next generation needs. That's what they need. Jesus passed the torch by planting seeds of faith so that our faith will be ignited and burn to light up the world with the truth about our God Almighty. We are called to pass that same torch. Jesus passed us everything that he possessed for generations to come. His passion and intimacy with God was passed on to us. His impression of the truth was passed on to us. His personal testimony was passed on to us. And also his suffering was passed on to us. His humble service was passed on to us. His resurrection power, thank God, was passed on to us. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was passed on to us. His life was passed on to us. And this is what we celebrate every Sunday when we remember Jesus. When we take communion, we are really celebrating and thanking God. Thank you, Jesus, that you passed this on to us. What is our responsibility? To pass it on. Let's pray for our communion. Father, we come together today because we want to be reminded of all that's in us and that has been put into us by all your effort, your love, your unconditional love, and your service to us. Father, we want our children and our children's children to know you. And Father, I pray that we would take every day as an opportunity to pass on something of you to them. Your wonder, your work, your forgiveness, your sacrifice, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Father, I pray that we will be the lights of the world. And then we thank you that we can be lights for the next generation. We love you, and we thank you for the light that gives us the burning desire and conviction and humility that you yourself would come and die on a cross and live a life that, Father, we can follow. And we want to follow. We want to be transformed. We want to join you in that mission. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.